Hey there, my name is Byron Vance, and I have been serving as a local church minister in the North Alabama Conference of the United Methodist Church for almost 23 years as a youth director, a minister of discipleship, an associate pastor a couple of times, a lead pastor, and a solo pastor. Now I am serving as the senior pastor at Pell City's First United Methodist Church, and I got to tell you, it has been an amazing journey. And part of what has made it so amazing has been my spouse, Kelly, a native Arkansan who we met in seminary and who is the source of my rooting interest in the Arkansas Razorbacks, Woo Pig Suey, and has been my partner and most excellent partner in parenting two boys. Boys. The younger of those two will be 18 in a few weeks, and so maybe there's a time limit on my use of the word boys to describe them. But it's kind of a default. We can't avoid that. Earlier in their lives, as Kelly and I were grasping at straws for figuring out how to parent them, not like we have figured it out yet, I found the book Raising Cain, Protecting the Emotional Life of Boys. And honestly, that changed my approach completely. I got hooked on the premise that if we don't intentionally develop the emotional lives of boys, particularly boys, then they will have an underfilled toolbox, emotional toolbox, when they need to access it, their feelings later in life. All the world will be a nail waiting for an angry hammer to pound it into the ground. And so the focus of this podcast is going to be all up in the feels. You've got them, and so do I. And let's be honest, living through a global pandemic has not lessened them either. It may cause us to repress or deny, but it definitely hasn't affected the emotions that we have felt. Anger, fear, frustration. We've possibly felt bursts of guilt and even joy. Yes, joy. After all, we have traveled through Eastertide and Pentecost through this pandemic, and so it is hard not to experience joy during these times. Times when we try to push away from emotions, there are times when we try to squash these emotions and just kind of try to shut it down, to push away from emotionalism and try to be more grounded, more rational persons, so that we aren't reactive but thoughtfully respond to the world around us. Wouldn't that be nice? But sometimes that search for reasonableness or rationality, I'm not sure about either of those words, can lead us to shut out the feelings that we have. Even when we read scripture, we can overlook feeling, emotion. And so I want to encourage you, as you read this week's passages, to open yourself up to feeling. Give yourself permission to feel as you read. I'm going to read a few snippets, not the whole things, but first I want to tell you what the passages are this week. We're going to read Zephaniah, the whole book. Don't worry, it's just three chapters. The minor prophet from the Old Testament. We'll also read the first 12 chapters of the major prophet, Jeremiah. Chapters 9 through 14 of the Gospel of John. So I want to share a few snippets with you, and all of these references will be from the Common English Bible. From Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 19. He says, "Oh, my suffering, my suffering. My pain is unbearable. My heart is in turmoil. It throbs nonstop. It can't be silent because I hear the blast of the trumpet and the roar of the battle cry." Jeremiah here is anguishing over the oncoming battle that is being waged by God against God's people. The frustration that God is experiencing with God's people, Jeremiah experiences right here. The anguish that he is feeling for his own people and for the destruction that they will experience. Or hear this word from Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. It says, "That day is a day of fury, a day of distress and anxiety, a day of desolation and devastation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and deep darkness, a day for blowing the trumpet in alarm against their invincible cities and against their high towers. I will make humanity suffer, They will walk like the blind because they sinned against their Lord. Their blood will be poured out like dust and their intestines like manure. This is the word of the Lord. Can't you just hear the feeling and emotion from God toward God's people in this word in Zephaniah? The frustration? Their blood will be poured out like dust? Wow. This is some intense feeling. As you're reading these passages from the prophets of old, it could be that you want to place yourself in the position of God, not to be God, but to feel the frustration that God is experiencing toward a wayward and listless people. Or you might feel what it is that the prophets are experiencing as they are sharing a most troubling and disastrous word. Or you might try to place yourself in the position of the people who are being forced to hear this word and to understand that it has real-world implications on them. But it's not just in the Old Testament passages that we experience the feels this week. Like I said, the gospel readings are chapters 9 through 14, and it starts off in the very first chapter. We hear this story of this man who was born blind. What does Jesus do? He restores his sight. The rest of that chapter is this wonderful interchange and experience of differing emotions. There are some who are frustrated with the way that Jesus continues to show up on the scene, frustrated and making sure that this man was indeed the same man that we all knew was sightless earlier in the day. Don't you think that his parents, when they came to him and asking for verification, don't you think that they were experiencing a little bit of the feels themselves? After all, this was their son. And repeatedly, when he is asked what was happening in his life, all the man says was, "All I know was, this morning I was blind, and now I can see." It wouldn't be hard to feel something there, would it? Chapter 10 moves into the Good Shepherd, which conjures up this wonderful image of Jesus. And we can read this and experience what it must feel like for Jesus to experience the shepherding of the sheep, which is us. Or we might want to experience those feels of what it would be like to be one of those sheep out in the fold, counting on that good shepherd to come after us. Chapter 11, we have this wonderful story where Jesus goes to Mary and Martha's house and their brother who has died. This whole story, in fact, Lazarus toward the end of this chapter, people are conspiring to kill him, not just Jesus, to kill him because of what had happened to him. What starts off as tragic, he's dead and he's starting to stink up the grave, ends with adoration as this bandaged up man comes walking from the tomb. You don't think Lazarus might have been feeling something, do you? Or his sisters? Definitely the ones who were scoffing and trying to kill. Later on, chapter 13, Jesus, he begins this last evening with his disciples, moving into the farewell discourse as he, remember, takes off his outer garment and wraps it around himself, and then he takes to the floor, takes the bowl, and starts to wash his disciples' feet. We've got some of the emotions, some of the feels. We know what Peter must have been feeling because he shares it with us openly. We know that Judas was one of the ones that was there as well. We know a little bit, maybe glimpsing into the mind of Jesus. But if you're sitting at the table with Jesus and the rest of the disciples that night, what are you feeling? And how might it feel to have Jesus do that with you now? Chapter 14, the last chapter in this passage, is the one that we use many times at funerals where Jesus says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." To which, if we are reading this honestly with our own emotions and not knowing where it is that we're going, Jesus says, "You know the way to where the way that you're going." And one of the disciples says, "How are we supposed to know the way unless you show us?" And Jesus reminds that the way is him. you don't think in this day in which we're living that we might resonate a little bit with that disciple who says, we don't know the way to where we're going. We don't even know when we're going to worship in person in our buildings yet. We don't know when normal will return. And you're saying, don't be troubled. This week, I just want to encourage you not to run from it. Don't over-explain or write it off, but to allow yourself to experience the emotion of the words of the Word as you experience Him. You might read as the prophet or the nation, as God or the messenger, the one born blind or the parents who've received their own gift, the ones who are frustrated by the ways that Jesus keeps showing up and showing out, by the sheep or the shepherd. You might feel like Mary or Martha. You might feel like Lazarus. You could feel those disciples whose feet were washed, including the one who would betray. And you might feel like those same disciples who were troubled in their day. And you might even read and experience that deepest of emotion when Jesus, when faced with the death of a friend, did what many of us have done ourselves. He wept. Read this week and allow yourselves to feel all that God conjures up in the Scripture this week. Pray with me. Now, gracious God, we give you thanks for all those things we've been running from. For the fear, the anxiety, the anger, the frustration, the guilt, the joy, the happiness, all the feels that some of us have been running from. Confront us with them this week as we are engaged by your word. And equip us, Lord, to have a filled emotional toolbox for when we next encounter your world. All this we pray in your name. Amen.